from this point onwards. So Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he mentions a poetry in which the poet says, وَقَالَ الْقَائِلُ أَطَعْتُ مَطَامِعِي فَاسْتَعْبَدَتْنِي, which means that I obeyed my desires or my impulses, the things for which I have a desire for, and they enslaved me, they captivated me. وَلَوْ أَنِّي كَنَعْتُ لَكُنْتُ حُرًّا. And if only I had been satisfied, that if I was content and satisfied, then I would have indeed been a free person, a free, you know, a man who is free. So in other words, the issue comes back down to the heart. And Ibn Taymiyyah continues and he says, he mentions some other statements with the meaning that at-tama' ghullun fil 'unuq qaydun fil rijl. When your heart has a desire for something, it, you know, aspires for something, this is a type of shackle around the neck and chains around the feet. And the meaning of this obviously is that again, your desires, whatever your heart becomes attached to and pursues and seeks, then that desire is something that puts a chain round your neck and puts chains round your feet, meaning that it enslaves you and captivates you. And so as Sheikh Al-Fawzan says, that that this is something that, you know, doesn't allow you to move around, and you become a captive to whatever it is that your heart has become attached to and what it desires. And that's why Ibn Taymiyyah goes on to mention another statement, which is at-tama'u faqrun wal ya'su ghinan, which means that to have a tama', which is again the heart being desirous of something. And again, as we said before, this could be wealth, it could be some material possession, it could be, you know, a car, a house, it could be honor, it could be position, status, authority, could be a woman, could be a man, could be, you know, any of those things. So when the heart, when this tama' develops in the heart for that thing, then this is faqr, which means poverty. And whereas al-ya'as, what does al-ya'as mean? Al-ya'as means here that you've got no interest in that thing, and there's, you know, you have despaired of ever acquiring that thing, right? You know that you're never going to acquire that thing because you've got no desire for it, and you know that it's not attainable. And so this, what this does, this frees you from being captivated by that thing. And so hence, وَلْيَأْسُ غِنًا. This is the statement related from, or it is reported from, Umar bin al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. أَتَّمَعُ فَقْرٌ وَلْيَأْسُ غِنًا. Right, to have this hope and desire is poverty, and to despair, to have despair, is meaning from that thing, from ever acquiring that thing, then this is richness. This is to be rich. And Sheikh Al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah ta'ala, he says that a person, if he had all of the world, and the nature of man is such that he would still want more. And this is the desire in the heart. And that's why we see in the hadith of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he said that if the son of Adam, لَوْ أَنَّ لِبْنِ آدَمْ وَادِيًا مِنْ ذَهَبٍ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ وَادِيًا. If the son of Adam had a valley full of gold, he would love that he has two valleys of gold. And وَلَنْ يَمْلَأَ فَاهُ إِلَّا التُّرَابِ. Nothing will fill his mouth except dust. وَيَتُوبُ اللَّهُ ala man tab. And Allah, He turns to the one who repents to Him. So the meaning here, meaning, is that it's the nature of the son of Adam to always want more, to not be satisfied, to always have a desire in the heart for something, you know, for something from the material things. And even to the extent that if he had a valley full of gold, he'd want a second one. And nothing will fill his mouth except dust. What does that mean? It means that, you know, this is something he'll continue, wanting. But not until he's dead and he turns to dust and he's, you know, whatever it is, in his, you know, only then will he, you know, be satisfied. Right? Because then, you know, the affair is over, it is finished. And nothing will fill his mouth except the dust that is the breakdown product of his dead body. But at the end of the hadith, the Messenger of Allah, he said, "Wa yatubu Allahu ala man tab." Yet Allah is the one who turns to the one who repents. So the one who is, you know, not distracted by any of these material things, his heart turns to Allah Azza wa Jal, then Allah turns to such a man or a woman. Then Ibn Taymiyyah says, commenting upon the statement of Umar bin al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, he said, which means, وَإِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ إِذَا يَأِسَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ اسْتَغْنَى عَنْهُ. When a man, or when a person, a man or woman, when one of you, he despairs of something, then he is free of need from it. He is free of need from it. So in other words, he's convinced himself and he knows that he cannot attain something, he cannot acquire something. So for example, it could be someone, you know, who acknowledges and realizes that he can never attain the wealth of those who are the super wealthy. Or he can never attain the status and the standing, you know, of those who have status and standing in society, right? And he despairs of that. He knows that it's something that is not attainable for him. So there's no desire. He does not have any desire in his heart. And what does this do? This completely frees him. It frees his heart. It, you know, his heart is not desirous of these things. And we know that the heart is the king of the body. Wherever the heart goes, whatever is the nature of the heart, the limbs follow. So if the heart is pursuing some of these things, these material things, these worldly things, then the body is going to follow. And this person will now be captivated, will be subdued, and he'll be engrossed in pursuing these things. Whereas a person who despairs, you know, he knows from the outset that this is something that is not attainable, then he will be not in need of it. He will be free of need from it. And so he will really and truly be, you know, he will not be enslaved by these things which are besides Allah Azza wa Jal. And then he says, وَهَذَا أَمْرٌ يَجِدْهُ الْإِنسَانُ وَهَذَا أَمْرٌ يَجِدْهُ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ نَفْسِهِ. This is something that a person knows from his own self. He knows from his own experience. We all know that when we despair of something, when we know that something is not really attainable and it's out of our reach, it's out of our capacity, then he does not seek it. He does not seek it. فَإِنَّ الْأَمْرُ أَلَّذِي يَيْأَسُ مِنْهُ لا يطلبه ولا يطمع به ولا يبقى قلبه فقيرا إليه. He says that when a person he despairs of such a thing, then he's not going to pursue it. Obviously, his heart is not going to be inclined towards it or have a desire for it, and the heart will not be needy of that thing. It will not be a faqir. It will not be, you know, something that he is in need of. وَلَا إِلَى مَنْ يَفْعَلُهُ. and nor will he be in need of the one who will do it for him, or bring it for him, or acquire it for him. So he continues and he says, as for when he وَأَمَّا إِذَا طَمِعَ فِي أَمْرٍ مِنَ الْأُمُورِ وَرَجَاهُ تَعَلَّقَ قَلْبُهُ بِهِ فَصَارَ فَقِيرًا إِلَى حُصُولِهِ. As for when he, his heart has a aspiration or a hope or a desire in something, and his heart hopes in it, then his heart now becomes attached to it. So he will now become a faqir, one who is in need, needy of acquiring that thing. And likewise, he will be in need of the one whom he thinks will be a means to acquiring it. And so this happens, he says, وَهَذَا فِي الْمَالِ وَالْجَاهِ وَالسُّوَرِ وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ. And this applies to things such as wealth, or things such as status and honor, and likewise to pictures and, you know, forms that someone is attached to. So Sheikh Al-Fawzan comments upon these sentences and these passages, and he says that when you despair from something, you no longer have any need of it. And he says, he mentions the poetry where he says, غَنِيٌّ بِلَا مَالْ عَنِ النَّاسِ كُلُّهُمْ وَلَيْسَ الْغِنَى إِلَّا عَنِ الشَّيْءِ لَا بِهِ. The general meaning of which is that to be rich and to be free of need, and to be free of need, of the people, is to be free of need from them. That is true ghina, that is true riches. And riches is only when you are not in need of something, not when you have it. So in other words, to be rich is to be not in need of wealth. Right, to be rich is to be not in need, or to be not to be desirous of wealth, not in having it, not with it, not by way of it. In other words, you see many people, they have plenty of wealth, but are they really rich? Are their hearts really satisfied? Are they really free of need or want? You know, you see many of these people, they have riches on top of riches on top of riches, and despite that, it's not sufficient. Their heart still wants more, still wants more. So really, that means that the heart isn't really rich and free of need in and of itself. So this is why the meaning of being, you know, ghani, free of need, doesn't mean that, it's not necessarily that you have so much wealth that you are no longer in need. Because true richness and true independence and true, you know, not being in need is when your heart doesn't need something and it's satisfied without it. This is the true richness. And so this is the poetry that Sheikh Al-Fawzan mentions. And then he continues to comment upon the statement of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah when he said that this is something that we all know from our own experience. We know that when our hearts are not interested in certain things, when our hearts are not attached to certain things, we know that we are completely free of need of those things. We are not captivated by them. They don't concern us. You know, we despair of ever acquiring those things, so therefore we have no attachment or connection or concern with them. A person knows from his own experience that this is how it is. However, when his heart is attached to something, then he finds that, you know, his body follows and he becomes preoccupied. And, you know, we all know from our own experience that this is indeed the case. And he continues to say that الْيَأَسْ فَالْيَأْسُ قُوَّةٌ كَمَا يَقُولُونَ فَإِذَا يَأِسْتَ مِنَ الشَّيْءِ إِسْتَرَحْتَ. Right? الْيَأَسْ, to despair of acquiring something, is a strength. it's a quality which is actually a strength. And that's why he says that there is a statement as saying that when you have despaired of something, then you have become, then you can relax and relieve yourself from it. You are relaxed. You are at ease from it. And, it doesn't preoccupy your mind and so on and so forth. So he says, وَهَذَا فِي الْمَالِ وَالْجَاهِ. This we find it relates to wealth and honor and status and things like that. These are the types of things that preoccupy people, the people of the earth. You know, it is either lusts and desires or wealth or possessions or status and honor and power and all of these worldly type of pursuits. And then what happens, the Shaykh goes on to explain, that when he makes this his concern because his heart has become attached to these things, then he becomes pleased and angry on the basis of these things. So now his pleasure and his displeasure is based around these things rather than the things which it should be upon, which is pleasure for the sake of Allah and displeasure for the sake of Allah. And so we see that these types of people who love leadership or they love wealth or they are attached to pictures and appearances and things like that, then this will harm and affect his religion. You know, he will sacrifice his religion. In fact, some people might even abandon their religion for the sake of, let's say, a position in leadership, or for the sake of a woman to marry her, and so on and so forth. And so then he continues, and he says on the next page, and so now we move to a new point. So far, what is the point so far? The point so far is that we are explaining that servitude, ubudiyyah, this is perfection. This is what perfection lies in. And that's why we see in the Quran, the prophets, the messengers, the angels, the righteous people, all of them are described as abdun and ibadun, because it is the loftiest, greatest, most excellent station that a person can have. This is where true freedom and, true excellence lies. And all of this was a refutation against those Sufis and those extremists who basically say that, excellence lies in not being a servant to Allah, right? Not being in servitude to Allah. And then we mentioned all of the reasons for that, to do with al-qadr and things like that of that nature, and particular belief systems that were innovated belief systems amongst the Sufis, like Wahdatul Wujud. We spoke about all of that. And so here, Ibn Taymiyyah moved on to explain servitude to Allah, which is to worship Him alone and to obey His Messenger. And then he started speaking about issues of the heart and how the heart, it can compromise its servitude to Allah. It can be deficient in its servitude to Allah when the heart starts becoming attached to other things. So this is now a type of minor shirk, right? When the heart becomes attached to material things, it pursues material things. And so what happens is, in the heart, there is a conflict and a competition. There's a competition in the heart between, servitude to Allah and obedience to Allah, and a person being preoccupied and, in things that distract him from Allah Azawajal and distract him from his obligations and from obedience to Allah and His Messenger. So now there's a type of, competition. The heart is attached to something materially when it should really only be attached to Allah Azza wa Jal. And so these kind of material things, like wealth or honor or status or power or authority, or likewise the pursuit of lusts and desires and things like that, all of these things, the heart can become attached to them. And so therefore, to have this tama' meaning a desire and a hope in, right, is something that is harmful to the heart. It leads the heart to become captivated by these things.